Harry Potter is enrolled in a photography class to learn how to take better dick pics, and his professor is Draco Malfoy?
Jamie Lannister and Brienne of Tarth are directing a Titanic exhibit, and Jon Snow is the security guard?
Tony Stark is producing a dating show on a tropical island, and all the Avengers are the contestants.
There is no way stories like this exist.
And there is no way three best friends would read them and put their reactions out for the world to hear.
I mean, no one would do that, right? Guys?
I'm Allie Lefever.
I'm Lindsay Rush.
I'm Danny Chapman.
And this is Fangasm.
The following podcast is rated H for horny. It contains adult themes, sexually explicit content, strong language, and characters we don't own.
Welcome back to Fangasm. I'm Allie.
I'm Christopher Walken.
And I'm Lindsay. And this is season 28, Nutbusters, Goes Boobsters, episode 3. And we are just so happy to be here. Just tickled.
Yeah. And just like the kind of paranormal dreams of the shenanigans of Ghostbusters, Allie, what happened to you last night?
Well, I think this may be the first time I've had a dream about the three of us.
Finally.
Brown chicka wow wow.
Was it dry or wet?
I'm not telling you guys that part. It was the most Danny version of Danny in this dream. Okay, so you know how dreams are a little hazy, so I'm just going to tell you the parts I remember. This isn't hold on, what was that Bird Box dream that I had?
Bird Box.
I don't remember.
Octopus Box. It was something with an octopus.
Oh, yeah.
With Sandra Bullock.
It was with Hayden Christensen. So crazy. Okay. The dream started out that we were at a conference center and Danny had invited me and you, Linz, to this conference center because he had a big corporate presentation, which is exactly what you told us the other day. So that's probably why it was in my brain that you had like a big presentation for a client. So we were there to basically help you in case you needed anything. Uh-huh. Well, time is ticking by and you are late. And so we're like, where the hell is Danny? He's late. And then everyone's kind of waiting on you and you show up and you have a new haircut and you have a bob. You have like a long bob, but it's trimmed. You know how like your hairline is basically to like the base of your skull? Yours was like flush with your earlobe. So it was like shaved really high in a bob. And we're like, why do you look like that? Who did your hair like that? And you go, oh, I stopped by this cool new AI barber where a robot just cuts your hair like you got distracted on the way to a presentation and got a haircut.
Like, wait, guys, I definitely have time for a 1 minute AI haircut.
It was called Bob's Barber, I think. Something stupid. I don't know what it was. It like stood for something in my dream.
Not to be confused with the restaurant, Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers. It's just so stupid. I remember me and Lindsay were side-eyeing each other like, I cannot believe he just stopped to have a robot cut his hair on the way to this presentation. It looked so bad. It was all bald up to your earlobe, but it was long. It was like a long bob. I was like, I don't even know Danny had that hair.
So instead of a bob, it's a bot. A bot bob?
I got the bot.
Maybe it was Bot's Barbers. Maybe that is what it was.
Bot's Barbers.
Oh, that's cute.
I just, for some reason, keep picturing like a little drone flying around with like, zzz, you know what I mean? Like that's the way the AI.
Like a modern day Floby.
That's the way the AI would cut hair.
I also love the idea that it would be like Bot's Barbers and then it would say haircuts with like a big A and I in haircuts.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Oh, that's perfect.
Grammagram.
TM that now.
Here we go.
There we go. Well, and listeners, I am showing up with a fresh new haircut that goes all the way to the nape of my neck. But Allie clearly manifested it.
Yeah. Well done.
Oh, Danny.
I mean, you know, should we spend the rest of the time just like telling each other our dreams? Because there's nothing more. What is it? Like people always joke that like that's like the least, like in your brain, you're like, I have to tell you about this dream. Allie, yours are vivid. You are the exception, I do think. Yeah. But every time I start to tell Caleb about my dream, he's like, please, can I have a pass? Like, please don't tell me.
I had two vivid dreams this week. And yesterday I had one in the morning and I was getting ready and I got up before Marco. And so he got up to go to the bathroom and I'm like, babe, I have to tell you my dream. And he goes, I have to go back to sleep. Don't tell me because my mind will start racing. And so I was like, okay. So I told him later. And then I had a dream last night that we had a surrogate baby that somebody else named Randy for us. And it was a girl named Randy. And then I had to take care of Randy. And Randy was this like little sack. And I kept compressing her limbs. And she like, and I was like, I don't know how to hold Randy. And then I was on work calls. And I was like, Marco, you have to be on this work call. And he made this, he was like doing this like TikTok sounds on it. And I was like, oh my God, you have to stop doing. And he was like, well, then I'm not going to work for you if, you know, if you're not going to let me do TikTok sounds. So.
Randy in the little, like, still in her, like, placenta or something, like in her little amniotic sac. Oh, that's so funny.
So you got Randy and you couldn't change Randy's. Randy was so married to Randy's own name that you couldn't change it.
No, it was too complicated. She had a reputation.
Too late.
She already had an Instagram handle. She's not going to change it now.
Lindsay, any dreams for you?
I did actually text Kate this morning that I had a dream last night that she, our friend Kate, who writes about pop culture, her second book was called Kelly Clarkson's Kill List. And it was a pop culture thriller. And it was the subtag instead of American Idol said American Murderer. And it had like the microphone dripping blood. Like it was very Kelly Clarkson's Kill List.
Great. Did she like it? Is she going to use it?
I was like, you can have this for free. That it's like, you know, America's sweetheart, America's idol.
Or was she?
Is the last person you'd expect to have this kill list. Yeah. And she was slowly like going through them.
Stabbing us in the sweetheart.
She better not come for Ryan Seacrest because he has like 17 hosting jobs. We need him.
Do you think Justin Grew-Corey is at the top or the bottom of that list?
I think he's safe because she won.
Yeah, yeah.
Although his new little, like, Dr. Pepper persona is very annoying. So maybe he's on her kill list. I don't know. We'll have to figure out who's on her kill list. Kate will have to write it.
I mean, she should put him on the list from Justin to Kelly alone.
Indeed.
Their big collab.
Something is wrong with our brains.
Yeah.
But something is very right with the brain of Love Buster because there's some exciting shenanigans that we just learned about last week.
We got to jump into.
Should we blow?
Yeah. Can you do it, Dan?
Wait, I have one more dream. I'm just kidding. Should we blow? Okay, so the blowdown is that they've gotten this supernatural sphere, not to be confused with other lame shapes, from this library, and they are trying to figure out what's in it. Meanwhile, they're all starting to notice weird supernatural abilities happening. We've got Janine throwing desks. We've got Egon hearing inside thoughts. And I think the last we heard was Peter is piping pickled peppers.
With his pickled peepers.
With his pickled peepers, he can see through clothing to genitalia, or at least to undergarments.
He can only go one layer down.
He has sex-ray vision. We grammed it.
Yeah. So we're unclear what Ray has, and we're unclear what Winston has.
Yeah.
Might be syphilis. And then, we're going to see what happens.
But they're all a secret right now, except Janet's, because Janet's was like on display.
And specifically Janine's.
Did I just call her Janet? Allie, how often do I do that? I just don't care. And like our client's name will be Mike and I'll just be like, well, did Matt turn in the edits? And she's like, I don't know who that is. Our client's name is Mike.
Jason's wife, Janet.
She's never gotten a single client's name right in 8 years. And I'll go, I don't even know who you're talking about.
But I'll get really close. I'll be like, Kristen. And she's like, it's Christy, but.
They're so creative and funny, but they do make me feel like a number because they do not know my name.
I don't care. I'm focused on the jokes. Oh, okay, Janine.
You're just a number and it's 69.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Lindsay, I think this is you to read.
All right, ready guys?
Let's do it.
An hour later, a call came in. Janine took down the information and handed it off to Peter. The others rushed into action. Within moments, they were on their way. As Winston steered Ecto-1 in the direction of their call, he glanced at Egon in the rearview mirror. How's the research coming, Iggy? Egon looked up from his notes. Slow, but I anticipate more results by the end of the day, assuming this bust doesn't take additional time.
That's what she said.
Sorry. Have to bust quickly.
Ray chimed in. I still haven't had any luck narrowing down where the sphere came from, he said sadly. The best I can tell, it has properties that match those of a class 5.
Oh, God, not a class 5.
So what's that mean, Winston asked. Some entity of at least a class 5 created it?
Okay.
Yeah, or higher, said Ray. That's what bothers me. This thing has the potential to be dangerous. Peter leaned forward from the back seat. It gives energy to those who touch it. What kind? I'm not sure yet, Ray replied. That's one reason I think it could be dangerous. Let's be sure to keep it safe then, Egon suggested. Make sure Slimer stays away from it. I haven't seen Slimer lately, Ray pointed out. Not since we got back with the sphere.
Does he feel replaced, you think?
Huh.
Really fast, I had asked the fanny pack, what would be your magical power if you touched the sphere? One of my favorites was Emily, who said that Ghost would come to hold up her boobs so she didn't have to wear a bra or deal with gravity.
Ghost boobsters. Nice.
Yeah.
Peter sat back. I'm sure Slammer will pop up whenever food comes through again. He then looked out the window as they rode down the road. To his amazement, he realized that he could see through everyone's clothes. As the ride continued, he noticed with enough concentration, he could fine-tune how much he could see. Mm. Of course, he tested this theory on women walking along the streets. His X-ray romp was cut short when they pulled up to their destination. Everyone got out and geared up. As they entered the building, Egon watched his PKE meter closely. According to these readings, the entity has been here recently. That's cool, but where is it now? Peter's voice rang out quite sarcastically. Egon gave Peter a cold glare. I will be more than happy to tell you when I know, he replied angrily. The others stopped in their tracks. Egon, realizing they had stopped, turned to look at them. What? They had confused and shocked expressions on their faces. Why are you yelling? Ray asked. Yeah, and what's up with the attitude, man? Winston added. I thought, Peter, didn't you ask me where it is now? Egon asked, confused as much as they were. Peter shook his head. Spangs, I haven't said a word since we got here. Oh, he's reading his thoughts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Egon stopped for a moment. He then cleared his throat. I apologize. I thought you said something with quite a bit of sarcasm. Peter chuckled. Nah, not lately. Winston stepped forward. Anyway, let's do this. What you got, Iggy?
Why is everyone denying having thoughts? I feel like it's making Iggy crazy. like, doesn't Peter know he just made a snarky comment in his head?
In his head, right.
I know. Poor Iggy.
I'm trying to think of, like, am I so self-aware of my inside thoughts that if somebody was like, did you just have that inside thought, that I'd be like,
yeah, maybe.
Did I?
I don't know. Egon returned his attention to his PKE meter. The signal is intensifying. This way. He led the way further down the hallway. As they walked, Peter started wondering why Egon's attitude had become so paranoid. Egon stopped and looked at the others. I suggest we split up. The readings are getting stronger, but this is a large area. As soon as they nodded in agreement, Egon added, Peter, you and I will take this corridor. Ray and Winston can take the other. Once they had split into the two groups, Egon and Peter walked a little further. Egon then stopped abruptly, grabbing Peter by the upper arm. Spangs, lighten up, will ya? Egon released Peter, then said, I'm sorry, but something is happening to me. I didn't want to alert everyone at once, not until I know what's going on. Peter became very concerned. What is it? I'm not paranoid, said Egon. I think I'm having a reaction to touching the sphere. Peter's eyes narrowed. Funny you just used the word paranoid. Egon smirked, oh, and why is that? Because I just thought earlier why you're acting paranoid. Peter's eyes then widened. Holy shit, can you read my mind? Egon's smile widened. Try me. Peter stood and looked directly into Egon's eyes. He then started replaying in his mind the image of Janine as she sat at her desk, Peter able to see her bra underneath her blouse. Egon's face turned a bright pink while his eyes widened. Peter, you have X-ray vision? You saw Janine? Peter laughed. Also, that's not just, I guess that is a thought. I was thinking he could only read thoughts that were words, not like see what he's seeing. That's like his memory. That's like more than reading someone's thoughts.
Oh, wow.
That's like reading their mind.
Yeah. That's overwhelming.
Wow. This is fascinating. Peter laughed. Not on purpose, trust me. I closed my eyes before I saw something I couldn't unsee. But yeah, that's why I was staring out the window the whole trip here. This is fascinating, Egon exclaimed. And Janine has superhuman strength. Yeah, hey, we could become superheroes, Peter announced. I wonder what powers Ray and Winston have. Yeah, that would be interesting to know. But for right now, let's concentrate on the bust. We'll tell them about this afterwards. Eventually, the two corridors converged and they were back together as a group. The ghost was hiding in a small room at the far side of the building. After some impressive teamwork, they were able to capture it. On the way back to the firehouse, Egon and Peter updated Ray and Winston on their abilities. Ray was ecstatic. This is great, he said. Not so fast, man, Winston said, trying to get Ray's attention back to the bigger picture. What kind of side effects come with these abilities? How long is it going to last? And why haven't you or I experienced anything? All good questions. Personally, I want a chance to try this stuff out, Peter said excitedly. I can now ensure my dates will be absolute goddesses.
Ay-ay-ay.
They all rolled their eyes. What do we tell Janine? Ray asked. She's pretty upset about her powers.
She should go on American Ninja Warrior.
She should.
She'd kill.
Monetize.
Let's go. Let's go, Janine. Uh-huh. I think for now we tell her, but assure her that we will work together to figure out how to handle it, Egon suggested. But she does need to know she's not the only one. Once Ecto-1 pulled into the garage, they approached Janine at her desk. She looked up, instantly anxious. What happened? What's wrong? Danny, you want to do it, Janine?
What happened? What's wrong?
First of all, relax. Nobody got hurt or anything, Peter said casually. Egon stepped forward. Janine, you aren't the only person who was affected by the sphere. Peter and I are also experiencing symptoms.
Like what?
Ray jumped in. Iggy can read our minds, and Peter has X-ray vision. Janine crossed her arms and glared at Peter. Before she could even speak, Peter declared, No, I didn't see anything on purpose. Her eyes flashed with anger.
On purpose? So you did see something.
Just your bra, he swore. He wasn't about to mention seeing her backside. She then looked at Egon, a seductive smile spreading across her lips. She purposely started thinking about a fantasy she had the previous night about her and Egon. His face turned a bright red. Janine!
What?
She asked coyly.
Tell me what I just thought about. She's like, no workplace harassment, but also, I'm going to peg you.
Harass the shit out of you.
She's giving him head. Egon cleared his throat. It's not necessary. Or appropriate from the look on your face, Peter laughed. Ray stepped in, trying to defuse the awkward moment. Neither myself or Winston are experiencing anything yet. I'm not sure why, but I'd like to run some more tests on it. We'll probably need some additional reference books, too. Egon quickly agreed and headed straight for the lab. Ray followed while Winston took the ghost trap down to be emptied. Peter leaned across Janine's desk, a smirk on his face a mile wide. So, what were you thinking that got Speng so fired up? She smiled.
Just a dream I had the other night about him getting a haircut.
He went to a robot on the way to a presentation. It was so inappropriate. And it looked terrible on him.
And then Kelly Clarkson killed him.
I love when our theme connects. And like, not all stories have dreams,
that's
you know.
True. You can use this to your advantage, you know, said Peter.
How so? He's the one who can read minds.
Janine, all you have to do is get him in the right position. All he has to do is read your thoughts. You don't have to tell him anything, unless you just want to talk dirty. He then stood and made his way to the bathroom to claim the first shower, leaving Janine to think about that. Later that evening, Janine was ready to call it a day. It was 7 p.m. She had stayed late to get caught up on some invoices. Ray had gone to the library for additional reference books. Winston had left to have dinner with his parents. Peter had gone on a date with the blonde bombshell Janine had hooked him up with. He had called to move their date to tonight. He was anxious to test out his abilities.
Oh, boy.
That left Egon the only one left at the firehouse. Janine had become increasingly anxious about her abilities. Twice earlier that afternoon, she had single-handedly destroyed 3 pencils and her desk chair. She had gotten irritated at a client who had insisted that Ghostbusters come to his place of business to check the place over for ghosts.
I like that she thinks her super strength is breaking pencils.
She's like, oh. Like,
I'm pretty sure the 3 of us could snap some pencils in the right mood.
She's like, oh, I accidentally crushed a leaf under my foot. I can't be stopped. The irritating thing for Janine was that this particular client had hired them before, and the whole thing had turned out to be a false alarm. A bust. The client was an elderly gentleman who was being harassed by some punk kids throwing small rocks and twigs at his windows. You guys, my dad once told me that he and his buddies, when he was little, like, God, this is in the 60s, I guess, they would shoot frozen peas out of straws at, like, neighbors' windows to, like, scare them. Isn't that, like, the most, like, wholesome thing? You picture, like, young boys, like, on the grass in the suburbs of Ohio. She's shooting frozen peas out of straws. Pew, pew.
They're strong enough to break a window?
No, no, it wouldn't break it. It would just tap at it.
It would just tap it. Okay.
Shattered. He wasn't a vandal.
Those pesky kids.
I'll get you and your pea shooters, too. Eat my vegetables.
In the 60s, they were all about peas. Yeah.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
That's where it started, actually.
It is. Bill Rush. The man thought it was a ghost knocking around. Janine had finally helped him remember that situation, and she had assured him it was probably the same thing. Finally, she just scheduled a time later in the week for the guys to go check it out just to appease the man. After all of that, she had grabbed for the pencils a bit too forcefully, causing them to snap like toothpicks. These aren't number 2.
You guys, you know how they always used to make us take tests with number 2 pencils? I don't ever remember writing with a number 1 pencil or a number 3. Did they make anything else?
Like, did they even exist?
It must exist for, like, architects, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there must be special pencils. That
Yeah, but like, who's like accidentally like, oh no.
I'm not my architect. That's how this get in here.
I only went to Home Depot and all I could find was that orange, you know, carpentry pencil.
Will this work on the Scantron? When she stood out of anger, she took the desk chair and pushed it hard, so hard it lodged into the wall across the room. Peter had teased her for the rest of the day until time to leave for his date. She decided to go up to the lab and let Egon know she was leaving. She found him sitting at his work table, hunched over something under the microscope. She stood in the doorway for a moment, taking a good look at her handsome physicist, whom she was in love with, despite herself. She was quick to notice that Egon wasn't wearing his lab coat. Mm. He had also removed his tie, the top three buttons on his shirt left undone. Janine thought he was probably just tired and had gotten more comfortable. He looked up from his work. "Hello, Janine," his deep voice said, his eyes becoming a bit dark with desire.
"Hi,"
she shyly replied.
I was just coming to let you know that I'm headed home.
"Oh, of course." His attention returned to the microscope. "You're correct, by the way." Confused, Janine slowly walked into the lab, stopping just short of where Egon was sitting.
"I was right. About what?"
Danny, you keep pulling your shoulder up when you do.
It's a full body performance.
He's a method actor. "I removed my lab coat and tie because I'm tired," he replied, his voice a bit husky. Chills ran down Janine's spine at his tone.
Oh.
Egon sat at, Janine sort of sounds like, oh my gosh, who's the Harry Potter voice you always did? Why am I blanking?
Pansy?
Yeah, it's like, it's pansy-esque in a nice way. Egon sat up to address her. "I'm sorry, I don't know how to turn it off, as Peter says, but as soon as you appear at the door, I could read your thoughts." Janine laughed nervously.
"Oh, okay. I've got to learn how to control mine. I can't keep going through office furniture like this."
She then walked over to the window, staring out at the evening sky. Egon stood, his emotions were on overload after having read what Janine had thought earlier that day. He kept replaying the mental images he had seen when she had dreamt they were intimate the previous day. Mm-hmm. He's known for a while how she felt about him, and he has also known how he feels about her. He has been in love with her from the very beginning. These abilities they all had now made him realize exactly what he's missing out on. And Dr. Egon Spengler was done with missing out, and he was extremely turned on.
FOMO, no mo.
His PKE is like, boop, 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 boop. Egon looked at Janine as she stared out of the lab window. He smiled mischievously as he read her thoughts. So she feels overwhelmed with the strength that she has now? She's frightened of hurting others? Without realizing it, he had stood and was slowly approaching where she was, like a predator sneaking up on its prey. He laid a hand on her shoulder.
He just sees her, like, snapping his dick in half. He's like, and never, you know, inching back slowly. Never mind. I'll see you tomorrow, Janine.
She jumped, not noticing that he was there.
Egon! Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you walk up.
Danny, you also sound like, hold on, it's some quirky character. It's like a mad professor. Oh, you sound like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. Oh. That's who you also sound sort of like.
So, very sexy.
This is a Rorschach accent. What do you hear?
It says more about us, what we're hearing, than it does about him. Slowly massaged her shoulders as he spoke softly. "You seem tense."
"A very merry on birthday to you, Egon."
"You seem tense. Is there anything I can do?" I just keep picturing this like a massage train, like a Jamaican bobsled. Like he's massaging her shoulders and he doesn't realize that someone's massaging him and the whole team is there.
Slimer's behind him.
Where's Slimer been? He's part of the massage
train. He's the massage train caboose.
Did we make a joke about Slimer at Hogwarts on the first episode?
I don't remember.
No, I don't think so.
Like, how funny to have, like, Peeves and Slimer, you know, just going through, fucking shit up.
She closed her eyes as she enjoyed the feeling of his fingers firmly massaging into the knots of tension.
Oh, that's perfect.
The intensity of his massage grew stronger as he read her thoughts more. "I know what it is that you want," he whispered seductively in her ear. "We're alone for a while. I'd be more than happy to oblige." Janine's eyes flew open, causing her to spin around to face him.
Egon!
He smiled coyly at her. "Don't act so surprised. After all, I read your thoughts earlier. I saw the dream you had about us."
"Yeah, and I also know you never seem to care about me like that. So just let me have my dreams, okay?"
Let me have my dreams.
At least have my dreams. He wrapped his arms around her, pulling her up to him. I've had my own dreams too. I do care about you, Janine. Let me show you. He then leaned down, kissing her roughly as his hand started to pull at her blouse to remove it over her head. Whoa. Massage, right to take your top off.
Slimer. Massage received, loud and clear.
Slimer is in a tizzy right now.
Slimer's like, I thought we were doing something.
Now Slimer has to back away slowly, like, oh, never mind.
Kidding. Kidding.
He's got a little finger up the butt.
Is this when I...
Oh, Egon. Your finger.
Cold.
So cold.
What does Slimer sound like? I can't think of his voice.
I can't either.
He's like a... Blah, 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 like...
Oh, Egon.
Janine melted into his arms, so happy that this was actually going to happen. Egon removed her blouse and bra, then stopped. Excuse me. He ran to the lab door, closing it and locking it. He then returned to Janine and escorted her to the sofa. He pushed her down onto the sofa, then quickly removed his shirt, pants, and boxers. He then grasped Janine's skirt and pulled it off, along with her panties. He hovered over her, plunging his tongue into her mouth as his hands squeezed her breasts. He's very like, now let's get all the way naked, and now...
I like that he went and locked the lab, the lab door, too.
It was a bit rougher than she preferred, but Janine was overjoyed with the sensations. Egon's teeth bit down on her nipple, causing Janine to gasp. His hand moved between her legs as he continued suckling her breasts. His fingers rubbed her sex until they found what they were searching for. He began rubbing her clit slowly at first, then he slowly increased the pressure and speed.
Oh, Egon. Oh.
She groaned. He stopped and brought his hand back up to fondle her breast. Janine grabbed his hand and placed it back down between her legs.
Please, more.
She pleaded breathlessly. Egon smiled as he brought his hand back up to her breast again. I think you would prefer this instead. He released her breast and grabbed his erection. He guided it up to her entrance. Janine's breath hitched when she felt the head of his cock.
Oh, yes, please.
You guys, do you think she's got super strong
Kegels?
Vaginal muscles as well? Yeah, she can. If she comes around his dick,
he's toast.
Going to lose that thing.
Also, do you think he can, like, is he getting better? You know, oh, I'm a little rough, so let me slow it down.
I know. That's what I would think. I would hope that he heard her and he was like, I could be a little softer.
Here's my cock. Sorry I've been so rough.
She's like, that's a little rough. And he's like, try this.
I know what you want.
He slowly inched into her, filling her completely. Once all the way in, Egon began to thrust hard and fast. Oh, Janine, you feel so, oh my, so good, he moaned. Janine's legs wrapped around his waist, hugging him tightly. She began to thrust her hips in time with him. They found a rhythm quickly and soon worked up a sweat.
Oh,
she moaned. Her fingernails dug into his shoulders.
Oh, yes. Fuck me, Egon.
Egon continued thrusting faster. His orgasm was quickly approaching, but he wanted Janine to have hers first. Oh, Janine, I can't hold back much longer.
Do it. You guys, should we do a super cut of all of the sex verbal? Like all of the, like, oh yeah. Like,
oh, Egon.
Harry Potter, just, Titanic.
Do it.
Yeah.
Because it's written in all caps. She screamed. Egon exploded with Janine falling right after him. They collapsed on the sofa together, a heap of sweaty and tired bodies. Janine, this is like such a funny situation. Janine threw her arms around Egon's neck.
Oh, that was wonderful.
He smiled back at her. I'm relieved you enjoyed it. She looked at him, confused.
Why wouldn't I?
His smile faded a bit. Well, I've only had a few sexual encounters, and those were in college. Aww. I wasn't sure if I could, and I didn't want to disappoint you.
Of course not. How could you even think that?
Egon shifted, obviously becoming uncomfortable with the conversation. You're a beautiful woman, Janine. I've never felt that I would be adequate to take care of your needs. Janine sat up.
Egon, please. You are a wonderful man.
Do it!
You guys, we got to get back to the fire. We got to get back to the firehouse. There's a ghost attack on Egon. Do it!
Like right before you're about to come, someone just grabs your tie and is just like,
don't be a pussy. Do it.
I'm losing my contact lens. Oh, God.
We popped her contact out. That's a first.
It is a first. Oh, no. I think it rolled behind me. Oh, I got it. I got it, guys. Hold on. The story's almost over.
Are you about to raw dog throw that back in?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do it! She cupped his face in her hands.
You're brilliant, handsome, sexy, and you are a sexual beast in bed. Any woman would be privileged to have you in her life. And any woman who told you otherwise would be an idiot.
She then kissed him deeply on the lips. Egon wrapped his arms around her and laid her back down the sofa, beginning another amorous display of lovemaking. The end. Egon.
Wow.
Is there a ghost in this house, or did Egon and Janine just get funky? Because I got chills.
Just slimered all over. Slimer inside me.
Oh, do it! She's grabbing him by the shirt.
You hit an octave so high it cut out on everyone's mics.
What's it called when you're possessed? I was possessed by Janine's orgasm.
The shoulder. I could see it happening in the shoulder. Do it!
Oh, Egon, you're a stallion. Oh.
You're brilliant. You're handsome. You're sexy.
Don't let anybody tell you you're too rough in bed. Even though you are.
She's like a Jewish mother.
Yeah. And most importantly, you mean well. And that's what counts.
And mama loves you.
When the episode ends, check your underpants. Is your PKE high or low? Boop, 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 boop. Danny? Janine?
Janet?
It is off the chats. I am telling you, my PKE meter is, the arrow is on the floor, just like all of my clothing.
I love that. I think there's, it was very, very cute.
Adorable.
Now they're going to be a couple the next day. I do think he needs to, like, what an advantage. Read your partner. If you can read their thoughts and adjust accordingly.
But how stressful is the partner? Like, you got to rein your thoughts in a little bit.
That's true. You sort of have to, like, clear your brain. She's going to have to learn how to just, like, disassociate.
I'm just glad that she didn't chop his dick off with her Kegel muscles.
Yeah, same.
Any woman who didn't like that episode is an idiot.
And they don't deserve you.
They don't deserve Fangasm. And they don't deserve this story.
Oh, Allie, where's your PKE?
6.9, obviously. Top of the charts. Top of the reading. It was so fun. It was so funny. Yeah. I mean, Egon, like, that story must have really impacted him, that mind reading earlier, because he was just, he had the shirt already unbuttoned when she came in. He was halfway there.
Seductive. I mean, imagine what would happen if Egon had heard your dreams, Allie. Like,
it would have quit the team.
Oh, yeah. Mine's high as well. I think this is just great. I really do, though. I hope next week we get to learn Winston and Ray's superpowers. Mm-hmm. They're really left out.
I love, you know, we scan these stories, so we make sure there's sex, unless, you know, there's one season where we forgot. But, you know, so I love the pacing of this, that we got, you know, kind of plot, and then we got,
plow,
you know, a little foreplay, and now plow. And Love Buster is just so much fun. And I love, yeah, just this is how these two would do it. So it was awesome.
It's perfect. Well, kiddos, we'll see you next week for episode 4.
These are the days of our lives.
The balloons are back.
Whoa, Allie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I don't know how a peace sign correlates to balloons, though, to be honest.
It's double peace signs.
Cool.
Double peas.
Double frozen peas.
Peas in love.
Okay, love ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Do it!
For an extra dose of bonkers entertainment, join our Patreon, where you can access hundreds of hours of unreleased content and bonus episodes featuring your favorite fandoms, plus the ones we'd never dare to read on the pod. Head to patreon.com/fangasm to get in on the action.
For a regular hookup, make sure to subscribe to the show everywhere you listen. And if we've left you satisfied, ew, leave a 5-star review or higher.
For updates, merch, or to submit a story, visit fangasmpodcast.com. And thanks to thousands of other listeners, the fun never sleeps over on our private Facebook group, The Fanny Pack. Click the link in the show notes to join. Once you're in, check out the 20-plus listener-led groups that cover everything from pets to pot to pen pals.